Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue the theme I began the week with yesterday, talking about really the supremacy of Jesus, Jesus' kingship, his lordship. And I want to say it because we're living at a time in the culture when, as Christianity is in decline, as it's being pushed by secularist forces to the margins of life, one of the things that happens is, in the words of Pope Benedict XVI, the figure of Jesus is emptied of its significance and power. Jesus is reduced to kind of a horizontal good guy, a prophet, a nice guy, somebody who's got some wisdom to give here and then, but not as the Christ, the Lord of all. And I thought it would be good for us just to chew on the truth of what is given to us in the Scripture, what the Church brings us about the person of Jesus. And St. Paul is constantly teaching on this as he writes letters to the different communities that he either established or ultimately the ones he's responsible for. And he exhorts them, and he always begins it with a declaration of who Jesus is. He brings them back, because each of the communities he's writing to, in their own way, they're struggling. Some of the communities are being persecuted, literally persecuted. People are being martyred. They're profoundly marginalized, have very little political clout in the Roman Empire. They're not rich and powerful and wealthy and influential and comfortable. They're small bands of people who've just come to know Christ, Jews and Gentiles who are coming to understand and see one another as brothers and sisters, but there's a big, powerful world that is pressing against them, and it's pressing against the Lord and against his declaration of his kingship on earth. Remember, Jesus came, and he proclaimed, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Some of the readings we're having, I think next Sunday, maybe this Sunday, Jesus said, he reminds us that the very purpose for which he came was to preach the kingdom and to demonstrate the kingdom in his own life and through signs and wonders and power, through driving out demons and freeing people from bondage, forgiving people's sins, raising people from the dead, and healing. The kingdom of God was breaking into the world through the person of Jesus Christ. He is unlike any other religious leader in human history. No other leader brought the kingdom, maybe reflections of the kingdom, dimensions of what's there, but the kingdom is brought by the king, and Jesus is the king. He's the Father's beloved son. He's the firstborn, and he's the one who inherits the entire kingdom, which is everything God the Father has made. It belongs to him and to no one else. So when Jesus came, he brought with himself the rule and the reign of God to a world that was it's reeling in rebellion against God, that resists the rule and reign of God. It's part of what it means, the biblical understanding of the world, which is the fallen dimension of God's good creation. I mean, it's raging every day. We see it on every news program or every celebrity event or websites. It's there. Wars, lying, cheating, deception, division, hatred, perversion. It's there. And it's there in a big way in our time. So Jesus has come to establish his kingdom and his reign, and he brings with him the power to live in freedom, in the freedom of his kingdom, and the power to bring us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So here, for example, is St. Paul. He's writing to a community in Colossians, a young community that he himself did not found, but he's writing to them. He knows that they're under lots of trial. There's false teachers. There's lots of oppression coming on the community. And so what does he do? His solution ultimately is to begin with putting first things first. He knows they're struggling. He knows the difficulty himself. He's probably writing this letter from prison. So he's living it himself. And where does he begin and what gives him strength is he remembers who Christ is, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And then knowing who Christ is, the next step, he said, then we can understand who we are. And we put everything we're experiencing, every circumstance in life, who we are, in the context of our identity and our destiny in Jesus. That's the place of security. That's the place of safety. That's the place of sanity, really. I want to begin with verse 9, chapter 1. Paul says, and so, from the day we heard of it, you know, heard of their faith and their responding to the gospel, he says, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's a prayer that Paul often prays. It's beautifully put. This kind of parallels the beginning of his letter to the Ephesians, where he does the same thing. He's praying that God would enlighten our hearts, our minds, and give us a capacity and power to see the wisdom of God, the spiritual wisdom of God, the mystery that's hidden in this person, Jesus Christ. All that we long for and need to know and understand is in him, about God, about us, about the world. He's the one. He's the center of it all. So Paul said, I pray all the time for you that you be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you'll think rightly, then you can live rightly. So he goes on in verse 10, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. That ought to be the fundamental passion and concern of every disciple. Lord, how can I please you? How can I give my life more fully to you? Not the minimalistic stuff that characterizes so much of Christianity and Catholicism in the world today. You know, Pope John Paul II used to say that today, many of the baptized are what he called Christians at risk. Christians at risk. He said, we've embraced a minimalist Christianity, a minimalist response to God. Father, tell me the things I have to do in order. What's the minimum? Well, you got to go to church on Sunday. You got to go to confession once a year. And the majority of people don't even make those minimums. And so it's so different than what Paul's both living, what we see in Christ, Paul's radical commitment as the rest of the apostles in the early Christian community to follow in his footsteps. So Paul reminds them, we make it our aim to please the Lord. That's now the reason we're living. So if you're in the car today and you're on your way to work and maybe you're a senior executive of a major corporation, maybe you're a school teacher, maybe you're a trucker, everything in between. If you've come to believe in Jesus and you're his follower and you're baptized into him, into his church, we all share, you and me, we all share the same fundamental purpose. We want to live to please the Lord. And what pleases the Lord, he said, that we obey his commandments, because that's how we love, he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so Paul is saying, I pray that you have knowledge and wisdom, understanding, so that you can live the life essentially you're called to live. And he goes on, so that you will bear fruit in every good work. You remember those sobering exhortations of Jesus, where he talks about that word commands us to bear fruit. And if he looks at the tree, he said, you can judge a tree by its fruit. Your life is a tree. My life is a tree. And when it comes, whether we die before he returns or when he comes in glory, that day of judgment, the kind of tree we are is going to be revealed. What sort of fruit is on your limbs? What fruit are you bearing? Are you bearing the fruit of the kingdom? If you're living in faith, hope, and love, and you're living in his church and you're saying yes to his call to holiness and mission the best you can in this earth and in this time, you will bear fruit. If you're obeying him and seeking to please him, you'll bear fruit. That's one of the ways Jesus knows who actually those are who belong to him. So he's calling us to bear good fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Lord wants us to increase in the knowledge of God and to bear fruit now. He begins to go on to talk about why we can have confidence in God because of what he's done in Christ. Verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. What a good word for us today. Paul wants to pray for you in heaven, the apostles, the saints, they're all praying for us, and this is what they're praying for, that we would be strengthened for the trials that we face every day. Friends, this is not heaven. We're not home yet. This is a battlefield. This is literally it, and we might want to try to make it Disneyland and a fun ride, but fundamentally, this is a place of spiritual combat. And what's going on is the battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness for human beings, eternal souls. That is the most important thing that's happening on the globe. It's bigger than our politics. It's bigger than our sports and our entertainment. It's bigger than everything. This is the essence of what's unfolding in the world. So Paul wants to pray for strength in you and in me. And strength that comes to us in Christ through his glorious might. Jesus, who became one of us, has already gone to where he's calling us to, and he's absolutely free and in total power, reigning in the glory of God. He's home. He's the firstborn. And he's given us a share in his Holy Spirit, which is a share in the glory that belongs to him. We've been given a down payment. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be his witnesses. We've received power in baptism, in the Spirit, to live a new way of life, to be a new person, to live the Christ life. He goes on. He said, so you can have that strength and might for what? For all endurance and patience. He knows how much we have to endure in this world. And we're living in a time when the heat is getting turned up on the Catholic Church and the Christian people. There's the politeness that the world had toward the church is going away. There's a steady, ever-intensifying hostility and resistance to the church and what the church exists for, what the church believes. It's going to require of us greater endurance. And that endurance you can see in the book of Revelation, other places, in the letters of the apostles. This is a fundamental characteristic of what it means to be a Christian. You know, it's that whole thing, if you choose to follow the Lord, prepare yourself for an ordeal. Jesus does not promise us that it's going to be a limo ride, one big jacuzzi experience for us here on earth. Pleasant, pleasing, comfort. No. Jesus said the way is narrow. It's difficult. It requires everything. It demands that we become warriors, living in faith, hope, and love. And then endurance and impatience. Patience is that it's a kind of trust, trusting in the Lord. Don't panic. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. Don't act like you don't have a Lord and a loving Father. Don't live like an orphan who's lost and on your own. You're a child of God. He said, instead, with endurance and patience, live in joy. Here's a fundamental characteristic of the Christian people. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of the life of God in you. St. Peter said to the Christians being persecuted that he wrote to in his first letter, he said, despite all these persecutions and trials and beatdowns that you're receiving, you're filled with unutterable and exalted joy. The Christian people, because of Jesus the Lord, and because of what Paul's about to say here, we do not live under the circumstances of life. We live above them. He says, we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's qualified us by giving us a share in what belongs to Jesus. And I'll end here in verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. That's why you can be free, and that's why you can live in joy. I want to take up this more tomorrow. Hope you can join me. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.